Hello, I'm Amanda Ray Marino, Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Logistics Activity Center in Millington, Tennessee.
And I'm Werner Buckman, Biologist for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in the Charleston District.
Welcome to the Build Strong With Us podcast, where we give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about the diverse people, mission impact, and career opportunities our personnel experience within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. In this edition, we talk with U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Dr. Brittany Bruder, a coastal research engineer with the Corps of Engineers Engineer Research and Development Center, Coastal and Hydraulics Laboratory, Field Research Facility. Hello, Brittany.
Hi, happy to be here.
Thank you for joining us today. Your work center has quite a name. Could you possibly break down what all of those different titles mean and let us know how that fits into the larger picture of the Corps of Engineers and what your role is here for our listeners that may not know much about the Corps of Engineers?
Of course. So the Engineer Research and Development Center is actually located in Vicksburg, Mississippi. It is a strategic research laboratory. So we do research, applied research for the warfighter as well as district engineers. So we are trying to do cutting edge technologies so that it can make our warfighters' jobs easier as well as our engineers. So I, in particular, work at the Coastal and Hydraulics Laboratory. So our focus is navigation, our beach projects, which include beach restoration, as well as prevention of erosion and storm mitigation. We also help with the navigation with the dredging and things like that. Furthermore, subset of that, or another two acronyms, is at the Field Research Facility. We are at Duck, North Carolina. So although we are headquarters in Vicksburg, I work and live at Duck, North Carolina. The Field Research Facility is actually it's almost like an outdoor laboratory. So we have one of the largest piers on the East Coast. We install many, many instruments out in the water that run continuously. And they have run since the 1970s. So we are literally one of the most well-studied beaches in the world. And so it's a perfect place to test out new technologies, sensing methods, learning about physical processes that can all help our district engineers do their job better, as well as apply for military technologies. In particular, I am a subject matter expert in quantitative coastal imaging. So what that that means is that it's a focus on observing ocean events, coastal events with images. However, we use a special calibration that we can actually get measurements from those images. That really helps us estimate things like storm damage, get estimates things like wave heights. So we can actually get physical measurements without actually having to be in the water.
That's really cool. One of our other interviewees that we got to talk to actually just in our last episode was talking about the drone side of it and that other way of helping out the planners and the engineers with LIDAR data. So it's interesting to hear we have both the air and the water side. We're adding this data together to make what the Corps outputs even more impressive and even more technically accurate.
Right. Actually, so a big part of my work is the drones as well. So a lot of the technology that we have, it can be applied to the camera-based systems on the ground, can be applied in the air as well. So at the FRF, we actually have a tower that is 12 stories high. It's like an old forest service tower. And up there we have cameras. Cool. And they monitor the beach, and we can actually map the beach every hour. That research was developed here, and we kind of joke that like it kind of stayed in academia because Oregon State University ran it for a while, and it kind of stayed in its ivory tower. And so recently my position has been pushing that to actually get it into the district's hands. And so one way that we did that is that we applied that technology to drones, and we also apply it to cheap disposable cameras that are the expendable cameras that the districts can use to monitor their own projects.
That's really cool. So, you know, it's always that question that kids get asked, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Obviously, being a drone operator and everything that you get to do that's so cool is not necessarily something that pops into their head. So can you share a little bit more about your background with the Army Corps of Engineers and your own journey in joining up with the Corps team? I know that you have a PhD and a master's in civil engineering from the Georgia Institute of Technology. So obviously you've had an incredible journey to get here, but what does that look like and what really attracted you to this role?
So as a kid, I always loved science and I love being outside. I did grow up on the coast in South Carolina, so I was pretty familiar with the ocean. It was funny though, my mom never liked going. So I actually lived on an island and we hardly went to the beach. So I'm making up for lost time. But I just love, you know, my choice would always change. Like when I first entered college, I wanted to be a chemical engineer. Then it changed to, I think it was a lawyer at some point, then an architect. I figured out that I just love problem solving and I loved showing data in interesting ways and that it actually applied and made a difference. So I kind of bounced around because at first I just liked the problem solving in chemistry, but then I liked the design and artistic creative aspect of architecture. And then actually making a difference in policy was when I was like trying to go lawyer. I ended up with a civil engineering degree because I loved the get your hands on things, the field data, the kind of physicality of it. But I also like just the creative ways to show data and things like that. You know, when I graduated, it was in 2009. So the economy wasn't great. So I decided to go to grad school. And to be honest, I kind of fell into coastal engineering. I didn't even really knew it existed. It's more present now in undergrad programs. However, it wasn't when I started. And I was just really lucky to have Georgia Tech had a remote program near where I grew up. It was in Savannah over the border. And so I lived at home and started there and really fell in love with it because it's a mix of coding, going outside, being on the beach, doing measurements, trying to figure out, solve different problems, whether it's that's a science problem or even just like a practical problem of how am I going to build this instrument to withstand large waves. It was really great. And I had a great time getting that degree there. Then after that, I continued to do coastal engineering and, you know, my ultimate goal was always to do like a public service job where I wanted to do applied science, applied engineering. So I wanted to take that and make tools that was to help make better design choices or to just understand the environment better. The Corps was a pretty natural fit. I was looking for positions and I actually saw my mentor, Kate Brody. She was giving a presentation at a conference, and I saw she was kind of surrounded by these other really impressive women as well, giving these science talks. And so I introduced myself to her. And so it was actually my husband who was looking for a job at the same time. So I was trying to get him a job. But then it turned out Kate and I just had a really good cadence and a good fit. And so luckily we both got jobs for the core. So that was really, we were really lucky for that to happen. But I ended up being the one that worked with Kate.
Really incredible. It sounds actually kind of similar to my story. I got the chance to work with my husband for a little bit, but right out of grad school. And I went back to grad school because I was interested in doing something more than just marine science. And I went back and did a double master's in marine science and public policy because, like you said, I wanted to do that public service side. And my husband and I got to work in the Jacksonville district together for about 2 years. So it's incredible how it works and how the USACE, the Army Corps of Engineers family really, really sucks you in sometimes with some of these incredible mentors that you just can't help but absorb some of that enthusiasm and want to join them in what they're doing. That's a fantastic story.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, there's definitely a really, I can't go up, like, this is only a short podcast, but I could go on and on about how the team I work with is amazing out here at the pier. That's what we like to call the field research facility. That's the quick way just to say the pier. People have such great technical skills. We're kind of a smaller facility by ourselves. So we kind of have to all do a little bit of everything and we all help each other out. But it is just, you know, the passion for the science, the passion for the ocean, the measurements, it's just really thriving. It's really great here. And I feel really lucky to work with those people.
So what I'm hearing is a lot of alignment, the stars aligning, the right people in the right place at the right time, and everything just kind of working to get you here. So speaking about alignment, how does the Corps of Engineers mission align with your personal values and career goals?
Again, it's problem solving, I would say. I love solving problems, and the Corps, I think, is all about trying to solve problems. A particular program that I'm very invested in, that I am the lead, I guess, technical principal investigator is called the Littoral Imaging System. So this is actually software that is used for a drone. It is currently being evaluated by the U.S. Marine Corps. It's been evaluated by the U.S. Navy Beachmasters. And so it is for situational awareness for a U.S. soldier to go on the beach. And so these may be soldiers that are not used to recognizing some of the visual signatures that occur in the ocean that could be hazards. So what they do is they take the drone, they pop it up. They take a video, and from that video, we can actually extract a lot of different measurements and a lot of different information. And so, you know, the standard research that you would do, you know, you would kind of take the video, program it, you know, pull out this information and make charts and graphs and write a paper and explain all the technical details. Whereas my mission on this one and for the Corps was distill that information into like a readable PDF or a picture that just says, don't go here, this is dangerous, to kind of take the science and actually make it really quick and legible and, you know, trying to help save, you know, lives and help make entry operations more efficient. And so I feel very strongly about that, you know, helping trying to keep soldiers safe, giving them more information than they would have had going in blind. Because a lot of times, you know, right now they don't have anything to measure what the current is or which direction it's going, identify rip currents, things like that. And that's what the software can do, can help point out where there could be dangerous features and, you know, where the best places to take a vehicle in or to march out into the water and things like that.
So it sounds like, along with being a principal investigator, you're a principal innovator. You have lots of innovation projects going on.
Yeah, the other big project that we have that I am the lead that I'm pretty passionate about as well is it kind of relates back to that tower I was talking about, where we have this quantitative imaging technology, which has been around for decades, but really hasn't gotten into our district's hands. And, you know, the reason is it requires kind of a niche, a very specific skill set that honestly isn't even, I didn't learn it till I was at the Corps. It's not taught super frequently in engineering courses. And so trying to package that and just make it as like a standalone product that you give to a district and they can install it themselves. And then, you know, the purpose of it is that we can give them a camera, they install it, and then they can get shoreline measurements just using a camera instead of having to purchase or having to have someone to go out there with a GPS and survey and things like that. And so that's been really great. We've had a lot of good success with that, called CoreCam. You go look at the website. We have live images of a lot of our projects, coastal nourishment projects. And some of them are made into measurements or to maps. So you can actually get a map of a nourishment project every hour, kind of like in Google Maps. So we've had success with this. We have a lot of different sites around the country. We have some in the Great Lakes, which is kind of new and exciting because not usually when people hear coastal, they think of the East and the West Coast, but we also have a lot of coastline on the Great Lakes. So we have some with our Detroit district in Michigan. One of our big ones was in Lido Key, Florida, which was actually made a big difference for our district. So the Lido Key this past year was hit by 3 hurricanes in about maybe a 4 or 5 week succession. So I think that was, it was Debbie, Helene, and Milton, and one was a direct hit by Milton. So we had, you know, $1,000 camera set up, a trail camera that you could buy at a hardware store or a hardware store or a hunting store. It survived a Cat 3 storm, and it captured the imagery throughout the whole storm. And so we were able to provide, how did the beach project, because there's 2 jetties or structures there to mitigate erosion, how did it perform? So we were able to show the in between each storm. Now, if you think of Florida, where there's dozens of Corps of Engineers projects and a hurricane swipes right through the state, you know, they have to send out teams to dozens of sites to do measurements, and it's not feasible to do one every day or every other week. And so we were able to give them those estimates of how did the shoreline respond after each storm, even though they happened really quickly. So, you know, helping give them more information, and this information can be further used in models. It can be further used in better designing the next nourishment. And so just actually, you know, handing someone the information that can be directly used is really exciting, and seeing it being used in policy and things like that.
All right. Well, that is like some really cool stuff, I'm not going to lie. I love the way that you're able to take really simple tools like a trail cam and use it in a way that helps our nation be stronger. And that's awesome. So switching gears a little bit, on a personal level, how does working for the Corps of Engineers support your personal goals and your personal priorities?
I would say personal goals, they kind of evolve. I will say I just always love learning, and I love learning new things. And that was just my goal, is to keep achieving and to keep moving forward and to learn new things. You know, things as I got older, life changed. And so I do have 2 children right now, Lucy and Ben. And so, you know, I kind of think about, you know, how I come home from work and how I talk about work and, you know, how they would perceive that and how they're going to view work in the future. And I want them to choose something that they enjoy and they love, and also to make a difference as well. That kind of makes me think again, like stepping back about what am I actually doing, and how is it helping people? And so, you know, I think that working for the Corps helps in a few ways, is where that I do have a good life balance where I can make time for them and see their activities and be there for them, as well as, you know, try to give them a model of a potential job that can be helpful, and to actually help know that their mom's actually trying to help people.
You think about that next generation and this incredible journey that you've had so far, and there's so much more to journey through. What is the most useful piece of advice that you have received that you like to pass on to others?
I do like to laugh. I would always say my mom is one of my biggest role models, and she is not a science or an engineer person at all. She is very strong.
Or a beach person.
No, or a beach person. She is very strong and always focused on education and things like that. But I do have to laugh. You know, I would just get overwhelmed, and I would just be like, I have so much to do. I get this thesis done. Da 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 da. And she was just like, Brittany, the tides will always be there. And I just always laughed. So I was like, yeah, you're right. The ocean will always be there. Like, there will always be problems to solve, and there will always be those things. But I think it really depends on your personality. I think always it's just always helpful to step back and say what is your end goal again, and don't get pulled down in the nitty gritty sometimes, because it can be a little draining. But everything, you know, everything in my journey getting here, you know, I mentioned my changing directions many times. I was really passionate about going to architecture school, and I did not get into any when I applied, and that forced me as well to go into the coastal engineering program. And I think that it was a really tough rejection. It was valid. I'm not very good with my hands making, like, I can make really strong structures to resist a hurricane, but making a beautiful house is just not, delicate model is not my thing. It put me on the right path, because it did work out where I found a job where I got to spend outside, I got to express my creative side through problem solving and showing data in different ways. And so it all worked out for the best. So I would say, you know, even if a door shuts, like, I mean, that's a cliche as well, but, you know, even if a opportunity is closed, that doesn't mean you don't still have great paths forward. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's important to recognize that rejection and that you're not good at something and that that's not your thing, and you know, make peace with that. And it gives you that opportunity to find out what you are good at. So it's kind of like the tide was pulling you in, to go back to what your mom had said, which I love. So thinking about what you're good at, and not what you're not good at, let's talk about the qualities or skills that you think have been most important to your success within the Corps of Engineers.
This may be one of those, like, kind of backhanded compliments to myself, but, or like, one of those humble brags, I guess. But engineering and science, a lot of times it doesn't come easily to me, and I have to sit and be really stubborn and really explain it to myself and work hard to figure out the process, which is helpful, because that doing that process helps me explain it to other people as well, in more of a layman's terms and a basic understanding. So I feel like that has helped me make that transition from taking really scientific, you know, models and graphs and really precise numbers into making it into something actionable to give to a district engineer or to a warfighter who doesn't have time to sit and distill that information down. And so I think that has helped a large bit. I also think that because I was interested in that architecture and design, like, visually, I try to really make the data and the information come alive to people and to help that. And I think that's what led me to imagery as well, is that it's a great tool to convey information to people, particularly scientific information, because it's really interpretable, much easier to sometimes interpret, like, a picture that is like your own viewpoint versus some chart or map that doesn't have any visual cues or anything like that.
A picture's worth 1,000 words, right? That's what they say.
Yep. So, you know, I think that is one thing that I really enjoy, is taking the imagery and trying to make it useful for someone and in a creative way of showing information. And, it, you know, I think it helps as well. It helps the warfighter make really quick decisions, because I think a lot of times they'll have information like, you know, at this coordinate, this lat long, here is a dangerous area. But if we show them a picture and, you know, we're able to take that coordinate, map it in the picture and say, like, look, it's right next to this rock, like, as you would see it. Like, and that's what we're trying to do in the drone imagery. We can take some information coming from somewhere else and project it into what they're seeing. So it's almost like augmented reality. And so that's much more easy for them to interpret versus looking through a map, looking up, trying to figure out that. And so, you know, I think that's helpful. Also with the core cam, that other project we have, we can, instead of showing them like a plot of a beach profile, right, of which you probably can't picture in your head right now because you don't have a lot of experience with it, That's usually how they show how the beach has changed over time. But to actually just show them a picture and to say, hey, we took this picture at this time and this picture at that time, like you can actually just show how much the beach has changed. And, you know, we can give a measurement with it that can be used for engineering. But like that transparency with the public is, you know, we can say, hey, it eroded this much or it gained this much. And it's much more easy way to communicate that. And so that's one big goal of what we're trying to do is to show like, hey, these projects, they benefited this area, or we need to redesign them to help this area better or things like that. And so those pictures coming every hour, the public will be able to see them and they can witness how things are, the project's evolving.
Yeah, that visual context that you're talking about, I've seen lots of beach profiles having a marine science background, but that communication tool with the public is so important. And the fact that USACE takes the time, whether, like you said, it's for a warfighter or we're communicating with the public, it's such an important asset so that we can take something that is technical, take those data and convert them. We had a project that we actually did in Puerto Rico and we did high watermark signs, because it's one thing to say, you know, Maria got to 5 feet above this street, but it's another thing to have a sign that says, this is how high it was, you know, that's taller than grandma. That might be something you need to prepare for. So that, like you were saying, the visual context, there's the rock, here's the area you need to avoid. Being such a visual group of people and so social in that way, I can't imagine how much more the public is able to understand what you're doing and how much more helpful that is for someone trying to understand a new beach they haven't been to before. That's incredible work. So with all of these incredible things, like I was saying, that you're involved in, what gets you up in the morning and makes you want to get up every morning to continue to support the USACE mission?
Well, right now my son gets me up in the morning at 4. He's not asleep. So I am on a big sleep deficit. He's 10 months old. And then if he doesn't wake up, my daughter, who's 4, has a nightmare. So they get me up in the morning. But again, it's just coming in and trying to solve these problems and, you know, trying to keep our beaches and our infrastructure, keep it as protected as we can, better the process. I hope the tools that I am making can make a district engineer's job easier, but also, you know, make it more adaptive. At first, the goal was to kind of give them more data, like here's a lot more data. That way you can make better engineering products and, you know, better designs, and we can be more efficient and just better protect our coastlines. And now it's, you know, I think everyone is kind of like, there's a data overload in the world. And so now, okay, we don't need data. We just need like actual information that we want from the data. So, you know, so not just saying like the beach was 10 meters this week and it's 20 meters this week, but the actual answer, like, do I need to fix this now or should I wait? You know, I think we're trying to take it a step further now. But like I said, I love to problem solve, and it's a very notoriously difficult problem, the ocean. It is changing all the time. You know, the beach changes, the tide changes. You try to solve it one way and then the beach has already changed. And so just trying to make us more adaptive and flexible to do that is I'm always excited to work on new problems.
I heard the term adaptable woven throughout your last response, and that's something I wanted to talk about today as well, is why do you think innovation and the ability to constantly look into the future and be adaptable is so important to the mission of the Corps of Engineers?
It's important. I mean, the world is adapting, is changing very fast as well. I think historically, you know, civil engineering has been, you know, a little bit slower field to adapt because it is safety. You want to be conservative, and you want to make sure bridges are safe. You want to make sure the beaches are safe. And so like, you don't want to be too quick to change things. But, you know, as as we're just getting more and more ways to sense things and get information, I think we can, if we ingest them in a responsible and a knowledgeable way, I think we can use it to better our design practices. And when I say that, I think that kind of emphasizes the value of the research aspect, is because we do the due diligence to say, okay, like, we have this brand new camera technology that can map the beach. You know, how much should you trust that information? And so we've done the due diligence to look at it and say, like, okay, it's not as accurate as someone going out there with a survey equipment. However, you know, you could only do a survey equipment every 2 months, whereas you can get a camera image every hour. So, you know, that's what I think the Engineer Research and Development Center is really good at, is that there may be this brand new technology that comes out, but we can come back, we can evaluate it and say, okay, yeah, this will be really helpful for you. It would be helpful for you in this situation, but you probably still want to use this situation for designing something to a very specific safety standard. I think we can adapt. I think it's, you know, again, just doing the due diligence and making sure we understand what we're actually basing our decisions on is important.
So what makes you feel like your day was a success when you're done with your work? And how do you feel like you've achieved the mission whenever you go home?
If I solved a problem, I feel like the day was a success. Or if someone on my team solved a problem. One of my favorite people to work with, he's one of the first people I didn't officially hire him, but I brought him on. You know, every time he successfully does something right, whether it's an image or he gets one of the new CorCam stations up, he prints it and puts it on his wall. And like, that makes me happy. It makes him happy. Like, it just, you know, we did something, we solved something. It's kind of a tough attitude to have in research, because a lot of research is finding things that don't work. When you do, it's great.
So Brittany, what is one thing that you think people outside of the Corps of Engineers need to know about working for this organization that they may not know?
The fact that engineering can help people. I don't know if necessarily people know that we do help the DoD and we do help soldiers and technology about that. You know, I think that's probably the main thing, is that there's definitely a people aspect where we want to help the beaches, and we want to help the business owners on the beach. We want to help the homeowners on the beach. You know, we want to keep the navigation channels operating and running. We want to help soldiers. So like, we're just finding different tools and ways to do that. And I think just that, you know, engineering isn't just kind of numbers, but it is a way to help people.
Brittany, thank you so much for your time today and sharing your amazing story with us. And thank you to your family for being an Army Corps of Engineers family, for being an ERDC family, all of the dedication and amazing resilience that you bring to the Corps. We really appreciate all that you do for not only the Army Corps of Engineers, but also for our nation. It sounds like your impact is far and wide. And thank you for being a part of our team. We really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. It was really exciting to talk about it. So,
all right. To our listeners, if you would like to submit a question or a suggestion for a guest for an upcoming edition of Build Strong With Us, this podcast, please send us a note at buildstrongwithus@usace.army.mil. Thank you so much.